Welcome back to the Next Is Now podcast. This is Max Feldman. Shortly here, I'll be joined by Eric Hamford and Colby Giacobino. Both of them were dialed in Atlanta this past weekend for EYBL Session 2. So we're going to be diving into some breakout performers, some guys that were generating some buzz with NBA scouts, who's separating themselves in the EYBL 17s division, and a whole lot more. So thank you for tuning in. Let's get right into it. Colby, Eric, welcome on. I appreciate you guys taking the time. Fresh off a big weekend down in Atlanta. I know you guys got plenty to probably break down. So before we get into some names, I know there are some big time matchups just looking at the schedule going in. So wanted to ask, start with Eric here. What was the best matchup you saw this weekend down there?
Come on, man. New Heights Lightning and Knight Rider 17U. I think that took some people by surprise, honestly, right? Like, people are used to Knight Rider's kind of doing what they do, coming off back-to-back E15 and E16 championships. And then Malik Thomas and crew came in and spoiled the party. I think it was really good for the circuit because it goes to show if you don't bring it every single game, you get caught sleepwalking, you're going to get punched in the face. Nobody is safe. It doesn't matter how many stars you have. And I think that's what makes EYBL a different breed than some of the other circuits.
No doubt. Absolutely. That was kind of a crazy scoreboard takeaway to see that. Obviously, a lot of people going into this spring kind of thought Knight Riders was just going to cruise here, go undefeated, and just dominate like they have the last 2 years, especially after adding Caleb Wilson. But that was a crazy, crazy one. Colby, what'd you have there?
I'm going young here. I'm going 15U matchup. Team Durant, JL3 Elite. Max, I was texting you during this one. Number one, what made it so unique was it was packed with NBA scouts to watch a bunch of 15-year-olds. That usually doesn't happen. And that game lived up to the billing, and I would say even more. Obviously, there's a lot of hype around Durant with who's headlined by Baba. And NBA scouts scurried to whatever court that he was at all weekend, rightfully so. However, Isaiah Santos had different plans, so did Malachi Booker, and they were able to pull out that win. I think it was a 4-point win. It was a war. I thought it was a really good played game from both teams. But yeah, man, between Isaiah and Malachi for JL3, those guys really put their names on the map, I think, for like in terms of a national spotlight type of deal, because there's so many eyes on Baba. But and then on Durant, man, Kai Gray, man, he had a game for the ages. I think he finished with 22, and was really carrying and shouldering the scoring load for Durant. Jamal McKnight got busy like he usually does, and then Bo Daniels was an enforcer down in the paint. It was really fun watching him go head to head with Malachi, and like two bigs that are kind of on the opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of where they like to score and do their damage. So that one, man, that was a show.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of good teams in the E15 division. I would say just on paper, that's probably the highest level prospect game we would see from that division. So no surprise to hear that it was a great game. But going back to EYBL 17, so now we talked a little bit about it. Which group do you think, going back to Eric here, a group that you think is a candidate to win Peach Jam when we look back in July that you think is currently headed in the right direction? Because like you talked a little bit about, we'll see teams in previous years who win Peach Jam, they go 1-3 or something like that in a session one, session two. So who's a team that you think is headed in a positive direction right now?
Honestly, I'm going to stay kind of in the same general arena I was in before. I think Knight Riders, you know, the question coming in with their group was, it's very rare to see a group stick together as long as they have. And when you get to the 17U level, there's so many different teams that are plugging and playing and bringing in higher level stars and trying to compete. And you wonder, like, that group, is that enough for them to do it at the 17s level? I think Caleb Wilson being brought in was like a massive chess piece win for them. It started a little shaky after that New Heights game, but then as the weekend settled in, you saw Caleb Wilson really starting to kind of find his way with that group. And you add him to that team of what they already have from like a size and experience standpoint, they've been on the biggest stage, right? Like, they've won back-to-back E15, E16 championships. Now you're taking that experience and that cohesiveness with that group, and you're adding a five-star top 10 kid in the country with them. As long as Caleb kind of settles in to his role, it's hard to go against a group that has all of the other pieces and has already done it at the highest level. So I got to say, like, it might be one of those situations where that loss was the best thing for them ultimately, in order to kind of like refocus them, re-energize them, and just kind of get settled and ready for session three and beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been so dominant the last 2 years, and I feel like even those complimentary guys like Dante Allen, Wimbley, Alex Lloyd, around the Boozers know how to play with that group so well. And then you throw another five-star guy in the mix. You're probably going to take some bumps, but the upside's crazy if you can kind of fit in alongside those guys.
The trust is there. The trust is there with that core group because they've been together forever. Is now the question is, can Caleb get that trust, and can it go both ways? And if you get that to lock in, it's going to be pretty scary.
Absolutely. Colby, who'd you think here?
Guys, buckle up, because you might not see this one coming. But I'm gonna side with the if it ain't broke, don't fix it team takeover. Do want to highlight one more team when I'm done my spiel here, but I think, you know, obviously coming into this spring and summer, their roster on paper may not pop like it has in the past years at 17U level. But what we see is just a group that is more, you know, I don't want to say the most cohesive group that we've seen, you know, in the 17U pool, but they're up there. And I think, you know, there obviously has some of their parts, and that's led by Jordan Smith, who I think is about to take a massive step forward. Asserting himself, you know, obviously playing up on the 17s level. Another thing is, you know, another glaring, I would say, weakness, if you want to call it, was just their overall size. And people were questioning whether Christian Gurdok could really anchor the inside there against, you know, these more athletic bigs. He showed it this weekend, and he did it at ridiculous efficiency. I mean, I think he scored, I don't have it in front of me, but somewhere between 65 and 70% from the field. Now obviously not venturing away from the rim too much there, but when you're getting the floor game from Derek Dixon, the intangibles that you have with Jordan Smith, and Nick Lewis played really well over the weekend, which was huge for them. When all that stuff's rolling for them, based off their experience, the culture, the intensity that they play with, I mean, that was my second game in terms of the best matchup to watch for Team Takeover and Oakland Soldiers that Friday night. I thought it was a great atmosphere. But they have it going on. And I think that their experience throughout, whether it's the kids' experience from in their high school teams and winning, or, you know, again, just being with Takeover and knowing that culture, it's going to carry through here, and get them some wins that probably people don't see them winning. But I do want to just mention, like, a dark horse, team hero. You can't ignore what they're doing.
I love
I
it.
think Xavion Mitchell is one of the biggest mismatches, I think, at the 17U level. He just does everything, and for his size, it's one of those things where you're watching him and he's not like overwhelming anybody, but he just gets it done. He just finds a way to get it done every single possession. And when you see Davion Hanna join that mix, and it was seamless, I would say from the NBA players who were in attendance, who were watching Team Hero, every time I saw Davion do something, I would glance over at the players, and they would just make a face because it was just big time shots, very smart, efficient, you know, operating with the, you know, off the bounce. So you look at them now, you know, other than Expressions Elite, who's 6-0, they've been taking care of business as well. Team Hero's 74-point differential in terms of their wins and losses. So, you know, they're taking care of business, and you got to watch for them.
Absolutely. No, those are all three very good mentions. And I think the big theme between the three is continuity. And like those guys have been playing together for a long time, and they all play a very specific style brand of basketball. So, yeah, Hero, especially. That was one Travis and I talked about a little bit last week coming off Memphis. Those guys have been playing together for a long time. You throw Davion Hanna, just like you do with Caleb Wilson with Knight Riders, the upside goes to even another level. So, those are all good ones. Going down to the younger guys, actually, no, not specifically younger guys, but no, this was the first session permitted for NBA people after not having them in Memphis last weekend. So from your guys' talks in the gym, starting with Eric, who are a few guys that left an impression for scouts there?
Well, I think a lot of them were focused on the AJ DeBonta, Tyron Stokes, Cam Boozer trio. Anytime those teams were playing, Soldiers, Knight Riders, the court was filled. Similar to what Kobe said, there was a ton that were watching Baba as well as like kind of next up. I would say some guys that are starting to really get some buzz specifically this spring. I think the Brandon McCoy train is starting to rev up and take off just from a guy that now he's in the 6'4 range, athletic, long, makes people better, fills up the stat sheet, good personality. Like he checks a lot of those different boxes. I do think, I didn't know you were going to bring him up, Kobe, but like Xavion Mitchell is hiding in plain sight. Davion Hanna, like those guys who were just putting up like massive numbers. And it is always interesting to see like the current or former pros, because they view guys a little bit differently than guys who haven't played at that level. And you see them like certain guys, and you're like, well, if they do, they must have something, you know, that they see that we don't. I think those two guys were prime examples of that. I would say Jalen Harrelson is obviously another very popular name based on size, feel, just ability in general. And Malik Thomas just puts up numbers, right? Especially on the biggest stage. Like, again, is his game not as, it doesn't pop maybe as much in terms of he's not like a crazy vertical athlete. But when you talk about just like a niche skill, shooting and scoring the basketball, like he does some stuff that is very unique, and I think he put himself in a really good position as well.
No doubt. Colby, what do you think here?
Man, I'm telling you, I had three or four different NBA personnel people come up to me and just, you know, say, hey, you gotta tell me about Jordan Smith. I know I brought him up already, but you know, just for those who weren't familiar with him, what I think the most reaction I saw was against in that Soldiers game where he got a steal. Somebody was chasing him down pretty much on the break, and off one foot, he just exploded and went up and threw it down with two hands. And everybody's majority of the scouts' eyes just kind of popped open because you didn't expect it. And that's how it is. Like, if you're used to watching Jordan Smith, you know that's coming. But I think what spoke loudly about it for the NBA guys who had not seen him play, they were like, man, you know, any can shoot it. And I was like, well, that is the one massive hole in his game and has been, but it's what he's worked on all season. And like specifically in the mid-range, getting to his spots and rising up with confidence, he was hitting all the shots. I don't know if that's a sign for things to come throughout the summer. He might struggle here and there. But man, I'm telling you, he was hitting shots at an efficient level. And back to what he was saying, when you have these, current or former NBA players watching along, and you know, scouts, we look for this too, but it's his intangibles on the defensive end that get it going. Because so many times, man, we see these guys who are professional scorers that go back on defense and they chill. And I get it, like whether it's preserving energy or they just don't want to go all out on that end. But Jordan was doing all of this and then sprinting back for the most part, sprinting back to then guard AJ. And you know, if he got switched out on anybody, if you switch out on Tyron, it was like, you know, that's a Mack truck coming at you, but he's not backing down at all to it. So he's just a fierce competitor. They saw a lot of things to work with there. And despite, like, when he's playing, you think he's maybe 6'5", and then you stand next to him and he's 6'3". But the fact that the jumper is starting to come along and show progression along with his decision making off the bounce, I feel like are all clear signs that he'll have a chance when you then couple all of that with tangibles that he brings in his two-way impact.
One conversation I had in particular with a scout was centered on Jordan Smith too, and it was brought to me by that scout, and he was kind of just asking, hey, is this like an every game Jordan Smith? Is this what he does? And I'm like, it is 100% what he does. And what he loved was like, he is the ultimate glue guy, competitor. And he was kind of like, this is a niche, like that. This is absolutely a skill that he can own and could, provided he shores up the other shortcomings of his game, actually get to the highest level just doing what he does right now. And again, like, is he only 6'3"? Yeah. But that wingspan, Max, I feel like you would probably be the one to know exactly what his wingspan is off top. But he's got massively long arms that make him kind of like a very interesting scout. But he's never going to short you on effort, and he's never going to back down from anybody, which is what I love about his game. So it is Jordan was a name that was popping in the gym.
I'll throw in there huge hands too, long arms and huge hands.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, going off both what you guys said, I think Colby specifically, we talked a little bit throughout the weekend. Like if he starts to get to a respectable spot, Jordan Smith Jr. as a shooter, he's with all of the winning traits, all the other stuff that he does, like it's probably a deeper discussion, but he's a potential 3-5 guy in that class with just the impact he makes. And if he continues to expand his game, then it's a very, very high ceiling. We saw a number of breakout guys last weekend come off Memphis from E16, E15. So I'm still tracking back on the film. Wanted to check in with you guys. Anyone from those two divisions pop up that impressed you in specific?
Did we talk about Christian Collins last week, or is that just me and you side conversations?
Yeah, I don't think we did.
Yeah, Christian Collins, Team Why Not, really jumped off the page for me. I thought he was very good this past weekend. I don't know if it was just like finally setting in, showed the ability to do some stuff on multiple levels, length, checks all the athleticism boxes. And the funny thing is, like, he's still very much a work in progress, but the flashes are pretty crazy. Has the genetic side to him as well. Similarly, Cameron Williams, Vegas Elite, 6'9", length, has some mid-range game to him, very much still growing into his body, trying to figure out exactly how he can really start to dominate games and put it all together. But another guy that you really want to try to bet on now before it really starts to come together. I thought Ryan Wingard with Boo Williams had some crazy flashes, especially athletically. If you're not getting the trend, it's a lot of guys who aren't there quite yet, but they are getting there, and I believe in it. I would also say Luca Foster and Aiden Durkak with Team Final are positioned really well to have a huge E16 season, and you saw some of that this past weekend. Another guy who I've liked probably since eighth grade on that Team Why Not team is SJ Madison. I think he's really starting to turn the corner in terms of just overall shooting ability and starting to put the whole package together. I think he's a guy on the West Coast that's really going to start to pop.
Yeah, those were a ton of very good names thrown in the mix there, especially three very high upside guys from the West Coast. I feel like Christian Collins is just starting to really introduce himself. SJ Madison obviously playing very well, but yeah, a lot of good names there. Colby.
Wait, I kind of want to put one more in too. Tony Bryant with Knight Riders as well. I think that 16 team is massive. They have to be the biggest E16 team in the country. But I thought he did a really good job of like coming in and just owning his role, blocking shots, rebounding, finishing, like at the rim, whether it was off of like a pass, whether it was him just like gathering, you know, a missed opportunity and just playing within himself. There's a lot of upside on his end as well.
No doubt. Colby, you got here.
He mentioned one of them that I wanted to go with, Aiden Durkak. I thought specifically the game I was watching against Takeover. Takeover built a big lead, double digit lead. Kind of thought it was over with, and all of a sudden, Final made this huge push. Luca Foster was also instrumental in that effort. But Aiden, man, I mean, he just took over and went nuclear. And I think, you know, I saw him a few weeks back before that up in New Jersey for our event. And, you know, he flashed. You saw that there was a lot to work with there, obviously. But he's putting it together quickly and had one specific play where, you know, he got it at half court and put his head down in transition and just rose over top of this kid and put one on his head. So a lot of things are starting to come together. He was making really good decisions off the bounce as a passer too, which was new for me. But I think a lot of those guys on Team Final, man, there's a lot of clay to build with on that 16s team. And, you know, I think he's going to be a very big foundational piece. But he's a prototypical, when you look at him, he just looks like one of those guys who are going to pan out very well once that rubber meets the road. You know what I mean? And all the polish starts to come onto his skill sets. The other guy, this isn't going to be, you know, any needle moving name or anything in terms of that, because he's already nationally known, but I was just really impressed with Dylan Mingo, man. I mean, just the efficiency within his game as a whole, not just him scoring, not just him passing, even the decisions of when to gamble on defense or when to go attack and grab that rebound or put himself in a position to be, you know, a quick outlet for when his bigs do get the board and, hey, let's push it. It just seemed like he didn't make many mistakes at all, and he was just poised. You know, we have him in the top 10, so again, it's not any, you know, breaking news here, but you just like to see the approach and efficiency that he brings to the game. And that group in particular, would watch out for, in terms of, you know, moving ahead to session 3-2, because that they just have a ton of talent on that PSA team.
Yeah, absolutely. Durkak's a great name. I think Del Mingo too is, like, you can see him get some more opportunity late this high school season with Lehigh, but as a whole didn't play too much, playing behind a lot of older guys, and it felt like he's getting primed for a big summer, so that's good to hear. Last one I got for you guys, next EYBL action. There'll be college coaches in the building for the live period. So, Eric, in the class of 2025, give me a name or two that college coaches should make sure they get their eyes on.
I thought Jamarian Davis Fleming has been really good for Team Thad. Again, as like a rebounder, shot blocker, rim runner, really starting to round out his skill set. And to play off Kobe, I thought Caden Mingo just continues to show, coming off of the Scholastic season, that like he knows how to score the basketball. And it's nothing new. I've had this conversation before, and I've seen it hundreds of times with guys who, when they're in middle school, they're top dog. And then, you know, as high school happens, there's injuries, there's certain things that happen. Caden has always been one of the highest regarded guards in this class. And sometimes things kind of like steer you off course and things happen that you don't have control of. Caden is just proving again that like he's always been here. And sometimes that's what happens. Other guys pop up and, you know, again, there's unforeseeable things, injuries and whatnot. But Caden has always been one of those guys. And it's nice to see him, you know, in his last go around kind of reproving like, hey, I'm still here. This is what I do. This is what I've always done. So I'm actually very happy to see where he's at.
Absolutely. Colby, to finish up, I got a feeling who you're going to go with here, but go for it.
Ryan Crotty from Boo Williams is who I'm going with, man. He's another one I could have mentioned with that, and with that in terms of the NBA scouts kind of coming up to me and asking me who he was. You know, just because, I mean, majority of people weren't familiar with him, I would say, even those who follow the grassroots scene closely. But I think he's going to have a major breakout spring and summer. You know, really good build, 6'4", 6'5", and a lights out shooter. He's not just limited to shooting. He can make good decisions, you know, when he gets the ball out in the open floor. He's serviceable, you know, as a swing guy, and brings like a certain type of edge competitively. You know, a lot of times, and E, I know you caught wind of this too, but they were like, hey man, who's the kid on Boo Williams knocking down threes and just running his mouth? Like, just letting them know about it. And again, I know I've brought this name up before on the podcast. And Ryan is, no discredit to Ryan, just in his development, he's nowhere near the decision maker off the bounce that Cam Spencer was at this point in high school. But in terms of shooting and confidence and just that swagger that he has about him, he's right there with him. So I would fully expect for some Power Fives to move in on his recruitment. Virginia Tech already has. I know that I've gotten a few texts about him from Power Five schools in terms of like, hey, we're going to really look into this kid. But just when shooting is at a premium, he's a guy that you know, you want on your team that can make shots, and again, his confidence is never, ever wavered by a miss. I saw him, it was one possession. You know, he misses a three. They get the offensive rebound, kicking right back out to him, misses the shot again. They get an offensive rebound, kicks it back to him, and he lets it go again, and he made the third one. But, like, there just aren't many kids that are wired that way, especially when you're not nationally known. You're unknown at that point. You know what I mean? So I just thought that spoke a lot to his confidence.
It's the Gulkey effect coming off the NCAA tournament, facts, right? Where those guys, like, he had the gym buzzing, man. Like, he was confident, and when he got hot, he was hot. It was actually a lot of fun to watch.
I also, hey, real quick, Max, before we depart here, I also just want to shed light. Again, I'm not a guy that needs more social media followers by any means or anything like that, but Kyan Anthony, I think his game is really rounding into form, and the kid is just playing at an efficient level in terms from a scoring perspective. That Melo team has taken some lumps here early on, and he has been the one staple of efficiency and consistency. I think he's averaging 19 and maybe a shade under 6 rebounds, but just the way that he's getting his buckets, it's just so fluid and professional-esque that The growth from when we were here last spring, this is where you wanted him to get to, and he's doing it, I would say, at a faster path, maybe.
Absolutely. Love it. That's all I got for you guys. Appreciate you guys. Definitely be back on here soon.
Absolutely.